Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, praise, gratitude and thanks to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And there is a secret in saying the Lord of the worlds of the bacteria, the worlds of the animals, the worlds of the jinns, the angels, the humans, your makeup, the atoms, the universe, the subatomic matters and everything beyond. Things that are seen and things that are unseen, the hidden, the future, the past, the present, all of that encompasses Lord, Allah, Lord of the worlds. So you can see praise, thanks, and gratitude applies to any circumstance for a believer. And that's why the Prophet, peace be upon him, did say, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. I find it very strange, yet fascinating, the state of a believer. إِنْ أَصَابَهُ خَيْرٌ شَكَرٌ. If good comes their way, they are thankful, meaning they recognize it and they acknowledge Allah's blessing. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّاءَ صَبَرٌ. And if something that harms him or her comes their way, they remain persevering and patient. وَإِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ لَهُ خَيْرٌ. All the matters and the affairs of a believer somehow are always good. They have a mindset where they see the world different to everyone else. What is the opposite of gratitude, shukr? Who knows in the Quran? When Allah says shukr, and he wants to say the opposite, people who are shakirin, people who are grateful, then the opposite is the people who are, so shukr, the opposite is, it actually rhymes, kufr. The opposite of shukr is kufr. Now some people may misunderstand the word kufr. Kufr has two levels, two meanings. Kufr means to deny and reject Islam altogether, to go out of the fold and disbelieve in Allah and His message. That's called kufr. When a person does an act of polytheism, shirk, you become, when a person has this belief, they become a kafir. But the kufr here, the opposite of shukr, merely means, kufr means ungratefulness, denial, rejection, dismissiveness, disacknowledgement of blessings. So two types of kufr. Denial of Allah's message is the big kufr, and kufr denial or dismissive of Allah's blessings, it's called kufr. And kufr comes from the root word in the Arabic language of a farmer placing a seed under the ground and drawing the soil over it, and so you cannot see it anymore. Kufr means to hide the innate nature of belief inside of a human's heart and then deny the truth. And here it means denying the blessing. So we want to be shakirin. Allah says in the Quran, وَسَنَجْزِ الشَّاكِرِينَ. We shall truly always reward those who are thankful and grateful. My brothers and sisters, a Muslim, when he or she studies Islam and is trained and raised on the teachings of Islam, they will become a type of Muslim who looks at this world through a different type of lens. The lens of a knowledgeable, trained Muslim in Islam begins to look at everything in this world from a different lens to everyone else. What is this lens? A Muslim looks into the lens where every bad or good, they can see somehow a blessing and a good in it. Always. In richness or poverty, in sickness or in health, in ease or in hardship, they are able to sift through it and still see the blessing. In modern day terms, in business, because most people think about money as a blessing these days, unfortunately, that's only one of hundreds of the blessings which we have and surround us, such as knowledge, love, a good family, children, iman, a loving spouse, a good house, ability to speak, ability to read, ability to research, skills, all of these are blessings. Looks, strength. But unfortunately, when it comes to wealth and money, they use the word, which is true, you must have the abundance mentality. Don't have the scarcity mentality. From the beginning, Allah has always taught us through His prophets and through the Quran that a Muslim can always see abundance in everything. That is something that only a few can reach. For example, if a person is on their deathbed, and their health is gone, even their family is gone, their wealth is gone, everything, they can still see a benefit. They remember the words of Allah that your patience and perseverance will not go lost. Not even an atom's worth of patience, except that it will be rewarded. And they remember the hadith of the Prophet, peace be upon him, Not a single prick of a needle, sadness, grief, worry, hurt, harm that a Muslim receives, except that Allah expiates their sins due to their patience. Why a Muslim, not a non-Muslim in this case? Because the non-Muslim does not believe that Allah expiates sins. They believe in some other God, they believe in some other thing, or they don't believe in God at all. So, al-jaza'u min jinsil amal. The Prophet, peace be upon him, told us that the reward is the same as the belief and actions that you have. You get what you believe in and what you do. My brothers and sisters, so gratefulness. In order to have gratitude, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of the blessings that we do not see and take for granted. For example, one of the verses I'll quote in the Quran among many is where Allah says,
اللَّهُ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ قَرَارًا وَالسَّمَاءَ بِنَاءً وَصَوَّرَكُمْ فَأَحْسَنَ صُوَرَكُمْ وَرَزَقَكُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ ذلكم الله ربكم فتبارك الله رب العالمين.
Surah 40 verse 64, Allah says, Allah, it is He who made the earth a dwelling place for you and made the sky a canopy, probably referring to earth's magnetosphere. It's the thing around the earth, the magnetic field that deflects the sun's energetic radiation. So Allah says to protect you, a canopy to protect you, who shaped you and shaped you exceedingly well and gave you good things as sustenance. That is Allah, your Lord. Blessed be Allah, the Lord of the universe. Some people don't see the blessings they have in their features, in their health, in their face, in their eyes, in their arms, in their legs. The fact that you can walk, the fact that you can talk, the fact that Allah gave you, fashioned you in a good image, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you things other people don't have. And that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us a beautiful formula of how not to get into a serious case of depression or grief, even though we experienced it a little bit. One of the key antidotes he gave us was look and observe those who have less fortune than you, less fortunate in blessings, whatever it is, and then recognize the blessings you do have that others don't, because then if you don't think like that, you will begin to deny and to dismiss the blessings that you already have. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah says in the Quran,
وَآتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ وَإِنْ تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَظَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ.
In Surah Ibrahim verse 34, Allah said, and who gave you all that you asked for? Meaning that in this world, the humans have everything from which they can get their resources and live their lives. Were you to count the favors of Allah, you shall never be able to encompass them. You can't count them. Verily, man is highly unjust, exceedingly ungrateful. All you need to do is look into your cell. Just go to ChatGPT and say, give me an image of a modern day, of the most up-to-date image of a cell. Can you count how many features there are in there and organisms? You can't. And what they do, and how you survive through them. La ilaha illallah. My dear brothers and sisters, once you recognize the blessings that Allah has around you and within you and for you, then comes this reward from Allah. When you recognize and acknowledge Allah's blessings, and you are grateful for it, the abundance of blessings will burst out for you. Allah says in the Quran,
وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَئِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَئِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ.
Surah 14 verse 7, Allah says, also call to mind when your Lord proclaimed, if you give thanks, I will certainly grant you more. I will certainly grant you more. But if you are ungrateful for my favors, my chastisement is terrible. This actually came down, reminding the Prophet, peace be upon him, about the verses in the Bible that were sent down upon the children of Israel at the time of Moses and Jesus, peace be upon them all. And that Allah made a covenant with them, and he said to them, I will give you abundance of blessings, but if you turn your heads, your faces, and you start to deny and dismiss and disacknowledge the blessings which we have given you by doing forbidden things, going away from the guidance that I have given you, breaking and penetrating all the boundaries which I have placed, then you are no longer true believers and true submissive Muslims to Allah. You have denied, you are not grateful. My brothers and sisters, what does this mean? So therefore, how do we understand gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his blessings? My brothers and sisters, gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes in three forms. Memorize them, and if you have any notes to write on, please write them down. Gratitude and thankfulness is first and foremost to Allah, and it comes in three ways. You have to show your gratitude to Allah in these three ways. Not one, not two, but three. The third one is the hardest, but Allah is forgiving. And he expects from you within your capacity. What is the first way we show our gratitude to Allah as Muslims? Number one, by acknowledging in the heart and in the mind that Allah is the one who has provided us everything we have and everything around us. When you exit your home, you look up into the sky, which is, by the way, an abandoned sunnah that a lot of Muslims today have forgotten about, is that the Prophet, peace be upon him, every time he exited his home in the morning, he would look up at the sky. And he used to tell us that looking at the sky gives you serenity, gives you peace, lowers your depression, lowers your anxiety, gives you spirituality, calms you down, gives you clarity of thought, all of that. Looking at the sky, and he would say, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, how perfect is my Lord, and praise and gratitude is to him always. So acknowledgement of Allah, and I want to make a little point of this first one, acknowledgement in your heart and mind that Allah is the provider of everything. So some people, they will mix. Remember I spoke about the law of attraction and how people believe in energy forces if they have powers. They believe that they have powers outside of that, and then they mix it with Allah. They put the deen into it by saying that there are laws which God created called energy forces and frequencies, which have no evidence to it. Really, it's just opinions and pseudoscience, and definitely in the Sunnah and in the Quran, this is not true. Just interpretations of people according to the way they want to interpret. No scholar of the past has shared this opinion. That they say that, be grateful to Allah and acknowledge His blessings, and then the laws of the energies of frequency will come your way, you will attract them. No, don't mix the two. Allah says in the Quran, وَلَئِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you are to be grateful, I will provide you. Then they tell you, yeah, he'll provide you through the laws. Again, they have to twist it around, Yani. They have to bring somehow the energy forces in there. Ya akhi, ya habibi, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the only force in all of this, inshaAllah. However, acknowledging and being grateful in your mind and heart does have an effect in a different way. We don't call it the law of attraction. In psychology and science, they call it the mental radar. So Allah has created intrinsic radars within ourselves, not outside of us, within ourselves. That if you start thinking positive and you have, you know, this abundance mindset and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and keep a positive mindset and set your goals, then you yourself will channel yourself into a more positive direction. You don't attract forces towards you like a mirror. You, because of that, your mind and you channel yourself to walk and choose the more adequate and positive directions, inshallah. And if they don't go your way, you choose another positive direction. So that's the first thing. Acknowledgement in the heart and mind of Allah and only Allah alone. Not a star sign, not a zodiac sign, not an astrological sign, and saying today I have fortune because the planets have aligned in a certain way. A'udhu billah. This is not acknowledgement, nor is it gratitude. This is shirk, making partners with Allah. So number one, acknowledgement in the heart and the mind that Allah is the provider of everything and blessings come from Him. Number two, showing gratitude to Allah is saying with your words, words of remembrance, praise, and thanks with the tongue. For example, you say, Alhamdulillah, and you say it meaning it. You say Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. You say words that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. Subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, to say these words are more beloved to me than what the sun has risen upon. And many other beautiful words that we repeat as dhikr constantly and regularly, not only when you think something good has come your way, you say them regularly. We're thanking Allah night and day. Have your dhikr words in the morning, in the night, in the evening. If you don't know them, download a dhikr book, Fortress of the Muslim, I always say it, onto your app, and start to learn the different daily dhikr, remembrance words, always say them. And this way you are proving and showing your thankfulness to Allah. And the third way is using the blessings which Allah gave you in the right way. This is a difficult one. Your blessings are your eyes, your mouth, your tongue, your mind, your heart, your body, your skills, your money, your family, your time. All of these are blessings. Thanking Allah means acting upon them and using them in halal and avoiding what displeases Allah with them. So if I acknowledge that this eye that Allah gave me is a blessing from Allah, then, and I say Alhamdulillah, now I've got to show it. How do I show it? By trying my best to let it avoid looking at what displeases Allah and looking more at what pleases Allah. And if I do look at haram, I say Astaghfirullah and I start again. I try my best. My hands, I don't hit with it, I don't steal with it, I don't do things with it that Allah is displeased with. That's showing gratitude to Allah. I've got salat, my prayers, my body, my mind, my life. I do my 5 daily prayers. If I don't do them, I am lacking in my gratitude to Allah, and it's a very serious situation to be in. My hair, my body, my beauty. If I am a woman, I do what Allah told me. I trust in what He told me to cover in myself. Otherwise, I'm not being grateful. Otherwise, I'm doing what I want. If you're a man, what is the awrah? What is what you should show and what you shouldn't show? Your interactions, all these brothers and sisters are blessings from Allah. So how are you going to use them? There was a story from Imam Hassan al-Basri. He narrates a story about a man. He came to him and said, give me a way to disobey Allah and do what I want. He said to him, you can do what you want if you can break away from one of 5 things. If you can break away from these 5 things, do whatever you want. So what's the first thing? He said, get out of Allah's property. Don't disobey Allah while you are in His world, which He created for you. Would you go into someone's house and start to be rude and disrespect their belongings? No. So he said, get out of Allah's property, go into your own property and do what you want. He said, I can't. This is the whole universe is for Allah. He said, okay, let's go to the next one. He said, go to a place where Allah cannot see you. He said, I can't. Allah sees me everywhere. He says, okay, if Allah cannot see you, you know, at least go to a place when the angels cannot see you. He said, I can't do that either. He goes, that's the second one gone. He said, all right, what else? He said, when the angel of death comes to take your soul, tell him don't. Do what you want. He said, I can't prevent death going back to Allah. He said, okay, what's the fourth? He says, when you are standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, refuse to be judged. He said, I can't refuse to be judged. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to judge me. Subhanallah. Number 5, he said, give me something of this world. He said, don't eat or consume or use any of Allah's blessings. Don't eat His food, don't drink His water, don't wear the clothes He gave you, which come from the cotton and the land and the animals which He created. Go get your own. Go get it from your own source. He says, I can't. I have to eat and drink and survive from Allah's blessing. He said, since you can't do all 5, I can't give you a concession. For brothers and sisters, therefore, once again, gratitude to Allah are 3. Number 1, acknowledgement in the heart and mind of Allah's blessings and only from Him. Number 2, saying it with my words in praises and thanks and words of remembrance. And number 3, using the blessings Allah gave me in the right way. Now we understand how to be grateful to Allah in summary. The hadith now that we mentioned in the beginning, مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ. Whoever does not thank people does not thank Allah. What does this hadith, this authentic hadith, mean? It means 3 things. Number 1, Allah will not value, listen carefully, Allah will not value the thanks a servant expresses to Allah You know, when you say Alhamdulillah and you do all those three that I mentioned, they won't have value to Allah. Your acknowledgement of Allah's blessing, your saying Alhamdulillah and using His blessings in the right way won't carry much value if at the same time that same servant does not have an attitude of thanking and showing appreciation to people who do good services for him or her. Why? Because the two are interconnected. The reason people are doing good for you is by whose permission? Allah. Is that not one of the blessings? Did we forget that the fact that a person intrinsically was given the nature of doing good, where did he get that nature from? He was born with a mind and a moral and intellect. The fact that he was able or she was able to give you that goodness, the fact that Allah facilitated the qadr, the whole circumstance for that person to choose to do good for you, is it not interconnected with Allah's will as well? It's hand in hand. Therefore, a bit from the person and its origin and source is from Allah. That person could not do it without Allah. And that person had choice to do good for you, therefore you owe two thanks. One for the person, and by doing so, you are thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't mean you're saying that person's Allah. No, you're thanking that person because it was because of Allah that person had the nature to come and thank you. And of course, we've got to acknowledge people's goodness because they had choice to do good as well. Do you understand this part? The second meaning for he has not thanked Allah who does not have the habit of thanking people is those who do not have a habit of thanking or showing gratitude to others who do a good favor for them will most likely not have a habit of showing thanks and gratitude to Allah. People usually who do not have a habit of wanting to thank people, it means they've got a little bit of arrogance in them. And usually, the person who has arrogance in them, you will find that in their life, they're not usually thanking Allah that much. Their words of remembrance are not many. And if they say them, they're quickened, they're not thinking about it, it's robotic. Their prayers are robotic. Their Quran is just, you know, parroted. And if they pray, next minute they're backbiting people, or they're not really enthusiastic about it. Therefore, a person doesn't have the habit of thanking people who do good favor for them, generally won't really have the habit of thanking Allah properly. And the last meaning is, whoever does, right? Whoever does thank Allah, the meaning of the hadith, whoever does not thank people has not thanked Allah, it means whoever does thank Allah but does not thank people, then his or her thanking of Allah appears as if they're thanking Him, but they're not. So very similar in meaning. It's just a show. Alhamdulillah is a show. All right? An example of that is probably funny. It's like you and your mate, astaghfirullah, going to steal something from a shop. And your mate devises a plan, and you agree, and the plan works out, and you end up with more from that shop. Then you come out, and your mate goes, Alhamdulillah. And the other one says, Alhamdulillah that Allah gave me the ability to plan it, eh? It looks like you're thanking Allah, but you haven't. Because you used Allah's blessing in the way that He does not allow you. So you haven't thanked Allah. You understand? Some people will oppress other people and take their rights. And then they will make their own interpretation on behalf of God to justify their action, to turn it around, right? Gaslight. Just turn it around, manipulation. Say, Alhamdulillah that Allah took my right from you and you know that you are the one who took their right. It happens all the time. Many examples like that. Thinking and showing gratitude to others who do good to you does not mean that they are the source of that good. Did we explain that part? Do we understand that part? When I thank someone, it doesn't mean I believe that person is the source of the good. Yeah, they are a means, but they're not the source. So who is the source? But that the source is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We explained how that is. That through His creation of the means and resources of facilitation, this has happened. For had it not been for Allah's creation of such intrinsic nature in man to want to do good, it would not exist. And had it not been for Allah to create the means for the manifestation of such goodness, no one could do any good, which opens up a question. But people do bad. Can't we apply the same principle to that? That they couldn't have done bad if Allah did not will and facilitate and allow for the bad to happen. Bad cannot happen if Allah did not create the bad. The answer is, yes, Allah created that there is bad in this earth and people can do it, but Allah also created the intrinsic nature to shun the bad and feel guilty about bad things. Look at the little child. A little child, are they naturally evil? Are they intrinsically evil? Are people created intrinsically evil? No. Babies are not evil. If you let them go, babies will be naturally instinctive in good nature, innocence. So Allah doesn't create us bad. He creates us good. But He put into us a test. We can choose to do the bad. He allows it, but He forbid it. So when you do the bad, He takes no part in it. Why is there bad? Bad exists in order to serve other purposes. You see, bad is in perspective of what you see bad. Sometimes something bad can happen to me where something good comes out of it. Isn't that true? Yeah, and if, for example, pain, we often think it's what, good or bad? Pain. Pain is bad. But if I change the context and I put it into the gym, is pain good or bad? Good. An Olympian, the pain is tremendous, but in the context of an Olympian, is it good or bad now? It's good. Do you understand? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put bad so that we can know the good. And bad has goodness in it, but it depends how we use it. So, bad is our responsibility to stay away from, and Allah doesn't want it from it, and He forbid people using His means and resources for bad treatment of others. So Allah rewards the good, not the bad. So, and by the way, thanking too often just with a word can lose its meaning. So be a little bit smart with it. Here are some ideas, for example, in the family that you can use to enhance the idea of gratitude within the family. Within the family, brothers and sisters, gratitude can serve as a powerful tool, as you know, in addressing feelings of something called undervaluation. Undervaluation within your family. See, sometimes you have children, members, siblings, spouses who feel undervalued in the family. What's the solution to that? Increase the attitude and habit of gratitude among you. What do you do with that? To enhance the overall well-being in that area, number one, have family meetings. And in that family meetings, every now and then, get each member to mention something they appreciate about someone else in the family. Make this a habit. We already have the habit of ridiculing and saying what a person doesn't do. That's easy. How about when we try and say, you know what, you know, Fatima, my sister, I appreciate that you do this and that. And then she says, Muhammad, I appreciate that you do this and that. Mum. So try to sift through all the 100 things you don't like and find one or two things you like. And watch how the appreciation will rise and the services for each other will come even more. And how much of the bad attitudes and bad actions will become less because a person feels valued. What is it about people when they become bitter? It's when they feel undervalued, unappreciated. So what's the key for it? Gratitude. Show the appreciation. Have a meeting and get it used to it in your family. Number two, some people might find this a little bit cheesy, but I think it works a lot, especially with little kids, especially with girls, it'll work. Gratitude journals. You know, if fathers, you want to feel a bit more masculine, you don't write a journal, or the brothers, doesn't matter. For the sake of Allah, do it. And maybe write something on a piece of paper if you like. Boys, they like to rip things out and just write it. Okay, grab a Kleenex tissue. It doesn't really matter. The point is, write it somewhere. Write it on your hand. Write it with the permission of your sister on her hand with something that can be wiped off. But don't force her. Do something. But write. And then say, you know, let's say it's a little boy, brother, who doesn't like writing things, and he just scrunched up a paper from a piece of toilet paper. Just bring it out. Okay. My sister, today I like them. What? Today I'll say it out louder. I like that you fixed my bed. I should have done it myself, but thank you. It means the world to her. She says something about him. She probably would have lots of colors and things. That's nice. So gratitude journal, sharing what you write about other family members or on a card. Every now and then, put it under the door, under the pillow. Why not do that in families, Yachi? Where's the love gone? Number three, one-on-one. Father and daughter, father and son, mother and daughter, mother and son, husband and wife, brother and sister, brother and brother, sister and sister, walking together, sitting together, watching something together, playing outside together, looking at social media together, you know, within reason, doing sports together, going in the car together, going to school together, whatever. One-on-one, use that time to try and mention something that you appreciate about the other person. You know, brothers and sisters, if you're not doing any of these, you're not going to see the beautiful value of gratitude that could have been among each other. The parents can lead the way, and the older siblings can teach. The younger ones love it, and they'll get so much into it. My dear brothers and sisters, and so gratitude and shukr is a huge topic, which is a core part of the values of Islam and the teachings of the Quran. And our patience and perseverance against calamities and tests is a form of showing gratitude to Allah and to our blessings. And when we do have blessings coming our way, the way to show them is to be grateful to Allah, to acknowledge that they come from Allah, and to use them in the way that pleases Allah. And to thank people for favors that they have done for you, whether it was their duty or not, is a high value and something that brings a better outcome within your family, your community, your society, your well-being and theirs, whether it's in the employment field, but especially in family. And whoever thanks people for favors or duties has thanked Allah, because Allah is the source and they have chosen to do good, therefore thank them. My brothers and sisters, I thank you. Wa jazakum Allahu khair for listening. I will give you a couple of words that you can say that are beautiful, which the Prophet, peace be upon him, taught us when you want to thank someone. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, told us, if somebody does a favor for you, you don't have to go overboard in repaying them. Do what is within your means and something simple. And of course, depending on how big the favor is, the favor you do back gets bigger. But even if you can't repay the favor in its same way, and all you can say is Jazakallahu khayran, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, if a person, a brother, says Jazakallahu khayran, or a sister, to their brother or sister, then they have said enough and a lot. May Allah reward you with goodness. This means eternal, unlimited abundance of goodness in this world and in the next. So the word Jazakallahu khayran carries an unlimited meaning. Also, Barakallahu feek. May Allah bless through you. That hits two birds with one stone. You make the person feel blessed, and you make a dua for that person to do more good things so that blessings can come out through them. And how beautiful is that to say to your family members, Barakallahu feek. The Prophet, peace be upon him, used to say it a lot to his younger companions and the older ones. You can make dua for someone. That is a form of gratitude. Give sadaqah on behalf of someone is a form of repaying a gratitude. Doing a small favor for a person the way they did it for you is a form of repaying a favor. And remember, brothers and sisters, there are three needs in our life. Number one, you are either a abd, you're a servant that owes someone, or you are a master, or you are a peer. Servant, master, peer. What's the difference? When someone owes you something, you are a master. You have done favors for them. You're a master now, kind of like a master. When they have done good for you, you become a servant, you owe them. And the majority of our time, we are peers. I don't owe you, you don't owe me. What's the lesson in this? The Prophet ﷺ was all three in his life. You need people, people need you, and you are peers with others. Don't ever say, I don't need anyone. I'm not going to do anything good for anyone. Nobody deserves it. Don't get into that toxic attitude, because that's an ugly attitude, and you will only be suffering yourself. So my brothers and sisters, remember that the Muslim looks at this world from a different lens. We see good in everything. But at the same time, we don't let people step on us. We're smart and wise. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said, لَسْتُ بِالْخُبِّ وَلَا الْخُبُّ يَخْدَعُنِي. I am not a con artist, nor can the con artist con me. Do you understand that statement? I am not a con artist. I'm not shifty. I'm not a two-faced person. I don't stab people in the back. But those who stab in the back, those who are two-faced, those who are con artists, those who are shifty, cannot get their way with me. So that means it's people smart. So a Muslim is not just there sitting there like everyone can just overdo them and just thank you, thank you, thank you. No, no. Within reason, within wisdom, within intelligence, and it's intentional. So my brothers and sisters, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among the shakirin, hamidin, ذاكرين عابدين قانتين تائبين. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us death upon iman and taqwa. I said all these beautiful words in Arabic. That's your homework tonight to look them up. جزاكم الله خير. What do you say back? وإياكم. And to you. Right? السلام عليكم. And if you want to do better, الله وبركاته. بارك الله فيكم وإياكم وفيكم بارك الله. Right? And then you can add the word شكراً, which means thank you. Thank you. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد والحمد لله رب العالمين. Yeah, that's a good question. If somebody doesn't like being thanked, should you thank them? No. If they don't like hearing the word thank you, don't say it, because then it has a reverse effect. But what else can you do? Just say to Allah, Allahumma barik lahum. Oh Allah, bless them. Or may Allah give them goodness. So you don't have to say it to their face. Remember that gratitude can be shown in different ways. If a person doesn't like being thanked, don't. Look, some people say, when they, out of humbleness, they say, look, it's a duty, there's no need to thank me. Just don't thank me. That's out of humbleness, right? But actually the phrase, there's no thanks for a duty, is not true. There is. But if a person says, don't thank me, I don't like being thanked, خلاص, don't thank him, make a dua for them. Do it in another way, inshallah. Okay? Some people truly, they have their own personality. They might have had a traumatic experience from people who thank a lot. They may have an experience, but this is an exception. Some people may have a traumatic experience from people who thank a lot and get used. So they might think, if you keep thanking them, it means you want something from them. So there are people like that, and it is our duty as Muslims to be sincere and honest, and that's what you have to do, inshallah. So if you feel like a person is like that, don't thank them, but make dua for them, inshallah. Is there a limit?
More of a blessing to thank regularly.
To thank regularly. Yes, of course there's more blessings to thank regularly. Remember, akhi, we said thanking and being gratitude is in three ways. Can you repeat them? The first one, in the heart and mind, acknowledging, just doing that is worship. The second one, with the tongue, subhanallah, alhamdulillah. Okay, and the third one, using your blessings in good, in the right way. So you can see now three avenues of thanking. Yeah, it doesn't always have to be thank you, thank you, thank you. In fact, regularly saying thank you becomes robotic and loses its meaning. So that's why we have a diverse way, an approach of thanking. Right? To be genuine, to not lose its taste, to not feel like it's manipulative, we use it in a smart way, with scarcity, and we use it in the right time and genuinely and honestly, inshallah. But thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is done right now. Okay, you're sitting here in the masjid and you are respecting the masjid by not raising your voice and swearing and doing haram things in the masjid out of respect for it. That is gratitude. You are thanking Allah. Did you know that? Saying assalamu alaykum to someone in the masjid because it's the house of Allah, you intensified your greeting, that is gratitude to Allah. You're using Allah's blessing, which is your tongue and your iman, to send goodness onto someone else and bring a smile to their face in a greeting. Isn't that true? When you breathe air and you think of Allah, that is gratitude. Another way of gratitude is called tafakkur, pondering and reflecting upon Allah's creation. There are actually courses that they do now, which we were taught a long time ago in Islam, and other religions know this, and that is how to be grateful. So what they do is they keep God out of the equation. They just say, go outside and look at the sun, look at the moon, look at the clouds, acknowledge the sun, feel the breeze on all of your body, you know, get in touch with all your senses and so on, and be grateful that you are breathing today. Be grateful that you are living today. Be grateful that you are healthy today. Be grateful that you have another day today. So these are all actually good, and we are encouraged as Muslims to do it. It's called tafakkur and pondering. Alladhina tafakkarun, those who ponder and reflect. But we attach Allah to it. You know, all of this is from Allah. Rabbana ma khalaqta hadha batila, our Lord, you have not created this all for a foolish purpose. So yeah, and tonight, you guys go out of the masjid, have a look at the sky. How often do we do that? And looking at the stars, and just ponder with the will of Allah and say, La ilaha illallah. And watch how things change for you. Have a regular habit of doing that. This is all part of a sunnah that has been neglected, which used to be done with Prophet Dawood alayhi salam, Sulaiman, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. In fact, in the scriptures of Prophet Ibrahim, Suhufi Ibrahim, it is said in the old scriptures that he used to have the following statement in the scriptures: وَاجْعَلْ سَاعَةً لِلتَّفَكُّرِ وَاجْعَلْ سَاعَةً لِرَبِّكَ لِلتَّفَكُّرِ. Make a time of the day for your Lord to just watch His creation and ponder. It's called tafakkur. And also a khalwa, which means to be alone with Allah. That's gratitude as well. When you dress and you wear your clothes, you say Bismillah. When you eat, Bismillah, Alhamdulillah. The Prophet, peace be upon him, used to always say Alhamdulillah for nearly everything he did. He'd mount his horse, mount his camel, mount his whatever, go out of the home, go and come, and he'll say Alhamdulillah, thankful to Allah. So all of this is gratitude, inshaAllah ta'ala. Yes, brother is asking good question again. If he does a favor for me, and I ask him how can I repay you, and then he says it's okay, just make du'a for me. Is that permissible? Yes, definitely it is. Why? Because there is no textual evidence to say you can't ask someone to make du'a for you. In fact, there is textual evidence, authentic, that the Prophet ﷺ said to Abdullah ibn Umar when he went to Hajj, he said, وَلَا تَنْسَانَ مِنْ صَالِحِ دُعَائِكُمْ. Don't forget us in your dua. They used to go and ask Al-Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, to make dua for them to send down rain. Isn't that true?
I thought that was like, you're wanting something back of that person. Exchange.
It doesn't matter, but the idea is, can you ask that person for dua? Isn't that your question?
Yeah, but if I've done you a favor.
Yeah, that's okay. That's your, you want a favor is to make a dua for me. Alhamdulillah, that's beautiful. It's one among the best, actually. Among the best. Sahih? Yeah. Yeah. Barakallahu feekum. Beautiful questions. Now they're coming out.
Duty upon you.
Does it become a duty upon you to make the dua? No. No, it's not a duty. It's not a duty. But it's lack of what we call in the Sharia a lack of muru'ah, a lack of your good moral character. A person who does it all the time will probably develop a sense of selfishness and entitlement. Yeah. So you owe it to yourself to make du'a for them. And all you need to say is, Allahumma barik lahum. Allahumma barik lahum. Oh Allah, bless for him. Easy. جزاكم الله خير هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد والحمد لله رب العالمين والسلام عليكم